Good evening. Tonight's message is called Quench Not, Despise Not, Prove All Things. Tonight we'll continue our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul is exhorting the Thessalonian believers here in the latter part of this chapter. Let's read verses 14 to 23, and we'll see this in our text before us, Paul's exhortation. Start in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now some take these exhortations before us to mean that man by his will can quench the working of the Holy Spirit of God. One thing is for sure. The Holy Spirit, as to his person and work, cannot be quenched. Beloved, he is God. He is sovereign, and none can stay his hand. And he does as he pleases in heaven and on earth and in the seas, in all deep places, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before him and his great almighty power. So to quench the Spirit does not mean, as some foolish professors claim, that the will of man can frustrate or alter the will of God. No, no one can alter the will of God. He's God Almighty. He has no counselors. We can't twist his arm. He wouldn't be God if his will could be thwarted. He wouldn't be God if we could frustrate or alter his will. He would not be God. No, he's God, and his will is supreme. Calvin and Gill bring forth that this verse about quenching the Spirit here speaks of the graces of the Holy Spirit of God, love, peace, joy, which can all be quenched by our neglect. And let us not quench the grace of God. Let us not despise the preaching of the gospel, no matter who's preaching it. So we see then that Paul does not mean the person of the Holy Spirit who works effectually as he will. You know, the Holy Spirit can do whatever he pleases. And it says here, quench not the Spirit. But listen to what it says in John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, the scripture declares this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but listen to this, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit whereall. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. It's the Spirit who gives these gifts. Paul here in our text, in the context of our text, refers to the graces of the Spirit, such as faith, love, joy, peace. He speaks of the gifts of the Spirit when they are neglected and not put to use for the glory of God. This is what it means to quench the Spirit, suppress or subdue his graces and gifts. So let's read verses 19 to 21 together. Quench not the Spirit. despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. These three admonitions address the same thing, although the first, verse 19, can apply to the previous verse that speaks of love, prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And these are attributed to the work of faith through the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who works these in us. It's fruit of the Spirit. We see in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. The word quench here means to extinguish, like when a fire in your stove goes out or a candle quits burning. When that happens, there's no warmth from the stove and no light from the candle. Again, Paul does not mean the person of the Holy Spirit who works effectively as he will, and none can stay his hand. He here refers to the graces of the Spirit, such as faith, love, joy, peace, which we see in the context of this text. He is speaking of the gifts of the Spirit when they are neglected and not put to use for the glory of God, which again is to quench the Spirit, to suppress or subdue his graces and his gifts. Now, painful trials are not easy to go through. Not only should we never allow the trials of life to cause us to murmur against God, we should never allow anything to rob us of our joy or our peace with God. And let us remember that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Beloved of God, we are on a path that God himself has ordained for us. Where we find ourselves is our lot in life. When we turn our eye of faith away from Christ, that's when we start looking at self and start worrying about the mundane things of this world. And that's when we begin to rejoice in the things of this world or go the opposite way and feel sorry for ourselves. And a murmuring spirit is a wrong spirit that causes the warmth of God's love to turn cold. The candle that God has lit in each of us, each of his born-again, blood-washed children, begins to flicker and go out. And we can become miserable in that state. We'll never lose our salvation, but we can sure lose our joy and our peace if we start looking to self. Or if we start looking to the world. If we look to self or the world to make us happy, we're going to lose our joy, beloved. We're going to lose our peace. And I've seen one murmuring spirit take out a whole family of faithful people. One of them starts murmuring about something when there was no trouble at all. And then another joins in, and another is persuaded, and soon you have a whole group of murmuring people. I've seen it happen, and the results are absolutely tragic. It could have all been stopped if that first one who began murmuring had been told to stop. But no one in that family had the courage to do it. And they were all carried away by our murmuring spirit right out of the local assembly. And it's just tragic. It's tragic when someone shipwrecks another one's faith and quenches the graces of the Holy Spirit of God. Beloved, we have much to rejoice in. And if we remember that we are but saved sinners by the grace of God, then there won't be too much room to murmur about one another. And beloved, we know it's easy to praise God and give him thanks when there are no bumps on our path. Well, it's easy for us to praise God when we have money in the bank, when our health is good, when our little vessel is sailing on smooth seas. It's easy to praise God. The true test of our faith comes when certain circumstances beyond our control brings painful trials into our lives. When the seas which our little vessel is sailing on start to foam with rage. When the dark clouds of life close in and the winds of life start to howl, covering up the sunshine in our lives. And our text tells us how to deal with all the seasons of life. And we can only do this by the power and might of God the Holy Spirit in us. In all the seasons of life, we are to rejoice evermore. We're to pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord concerning you, my dear brothers and sisters. Therefore, let us not quench the Spirit. Let's read verse 20 now. We see Paul will continue his exhortations to the Thessalonian church, to the born-again, blood-washed, purchased people of the Lord Jesus Christ at Thessalonica. And he writes in verse 20, despise not prophesying. Now, Paul is telling us, do not despise, do not make light of or be indifferent to the message of those who preach the gospel and those who interpret the word of God. Paul addressed this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verses 1 to 5. Let's turn there. Paul pens, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesies, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Beloved of God, this verse aligns with the previous verse. The way to keep from quenching the Spirit is to despise not the preaching of the gospel. And we as believers are to desire the gospel, no matter who's preaching it. Always remember, it's not the man, it's the message. Now some foolishly say, well, this preacher's my favorite, or that preacher's my favorite. But we are to be concerned about the message that the preacher preaches. The Bereans did not search out which preacher they loved more than any other, or which preacher was deeper in their minds than any other. No, no, no. They would say, away with such foolishness, and let us search the scriptures to see if these things were so, that being what the preacher was saying. As again, it's not the man, it's the message. I listened to a preacher on sermon audio the other day, Jonathan Pledger, David Pledger's son, and I said to my dear bride, Vicky, I said, boy, that man has the message. And then we listened to it together, and we both rejoiced as we listened to the wonderful message of the grace of salvation in Christ alone proclaimed. And again, it's not the man, it's the message. It's the message that he preached that was such a blessing to my soul. The message of salvation in Christ alone, in him alone, no works of man, nothing. All by the sovereign grace of God. Salvation being by all by the sovereign grace of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ in him alone. So, beloved of God, we are not to despise the preaching of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true gospel, and it's the message that gives God all the glory. And when that young man preached, he gave God all the glory. He gave the glory to God for our salvation from beginning to end. And that's how it should be, because salvation's of the Lord. It's his doing. You know that God himself pronounces a curse on those who would dare to preach any other gospel? Listen to these words, again penned by Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in Galatians chapter 1. He says in verses 6 to 9, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now look at that. Well, there's another gospel. And that's the gospel of man's works, beloved. Anything that adds anything to the free grace of God in Christ, to the gospel of God's free grace, anything, just a pinprick of your works is another gospel. And Paul continues, which is not another. It's not even good news. It's not a gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, how do they pervert the gospel of Christ? Well, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, doesn't it? Well, you got to do this to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. Baptized to be saved. You got to receive a second blessing to be saved. No, salvation is in and through Christ alone. And do not listen to those who pervert the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of a complete, finished, sin-atoning work by the Lord Jesus Christ in him alone. And then Paul goes on to write this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, than the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ and Christ alone, of a complete finished work of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% plus nothing, then let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And those who have heard the life-giving voice of Jesus Christ our Savior have turned a deaf ear to the voices of strangers. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. We only desire to hear our great shepherd's voice. And how do we hear it? Oh, we hear it through the preaching of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Look at this in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. You see here what happens when the shepherd cries out. His sheep follow him, don't they? When he calls his sheep, they follow him. They won't follow another. They won't follow a false preacher. No, they won't follow a false prophet. They'll only follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God's sheep will only follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You know, when I was a little tyke in Canada growing up, I used to go visit my great aunt who lived up north. And she leased her land out. She had a good chunk of land, and she leased it out to the neighbor who raised cattle. And he would come to that fence, and these were cattle, not sheep, but these were cattle. And we try to call them cattle over, and they just look at us like wondering what we were and who we were. But you know what? When that farmer came over and he called those cows, they came a-running. And he used a name. I can't remember exactly what it is, but he used a name to call them, and they came running because they knew his voice. He wasn't a stranger to them. And here, God's sheep, they hear the voice. It says in verse 3 again, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. Look at that. Oh, the Lord goes before us. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him. Someone says, oh, come on over here. The true gospel's over here. Attributes anything for man to gain salvation by anything he does? Well, that's not the voice of the great shepherd. That's the voice of a false prophet. The true gospel gives our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the glory. And that's exactly what true believers want to hear. Because of God's grace, we do not despise the preaching of his sovereign grace. We love to hear the gospel preached. We love to hear the gospel of God's sovereign grace and sovereign mercy in Christ preached and proclaimed. We love to hear how God has shown us mercy in and through the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And as we saw earlier in Galatians, God abhors any preaching that promotes anything man contributes to salvation. Oh, God's elect are saved by the perfect sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have experienced the miracle of the new birth, and they abhor any religion of works. Salvation has been fully accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in him alone. It is he who has redeemed his people with his precious blood. It is he who died for sinners on Calvary's cross, and God's sheep are accepted by God in him. Praise his mighty name. And this is why we say, flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. Now there's another Jesus. And that's preached by false prophets. And there's another spirit. Paul writes about that again under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And those who have received this false Jesus and another spirit, oh my, they will go to their eternal doom, trusting in themselves. Look what Paul wrote, again, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He said, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, look at that, one that needs your help, one that didn't complete the salvation of his people, one that needs you to make a decision. That's another Jesus, beloved. That's another Jesus. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Those false religionists who have never been delivered from the power of darkness are the ones who despise the true gospel of God's amazing grace that gives our great God and our Savior all the glory. You just start telling people that salvation's of the Lord. You just start saying that he's completed the work, that there's nothing for man to add to that finished, perfect work. And I'll tell you what, you'll see how quickly false religionists despise the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we who have been delivered from the power of darkness, oh, we know that we're only saved by God's amazing grace and in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we long to hear the true gospel of God's amazing grace. Again, that gives our Lord Jesus Christ all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now, many in our day, and in the day that Paul wrote this letter to the saints at Thessalonica, despise the preaching of the gospel. So we see, as Solomon wrote then, that there's nothing new under the sun, because it's the same with natural man today. Men still despise the gospel, but not God's people. Oh, we love the gospel of God's grace. We see in verse 21 that Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to prove all things. Let's read that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So we see in this text that believers are to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. How do we prove all things? How is this proving done? Is there a standard by which things are proved, tried, and tested? Well, let's consult the scriptures. Listen to these words of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Okay, so right away, Peter is setting forth that God's people are not redeemed with corruptible things. What are they? As silver and gold. You can't buy your way into heaven. From your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. You cannot be saved by traditions of certain churches. How is a believer saved? But with the precious blood of Christ, is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood and redeemed his people from all their sins. And then the scripture says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God purposed and planned that he would save a people. And those people would be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, God's Lamb. And then it says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and give him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith and hope is in God and God alone. As you've heard me say many times, we don't add a stitch to the righteousness of Christ, not a stitch. It's all woven by him. He's the one who's done it all. He's the one who's done it all. And then in 1 Corinthians, let's listen to more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, the scripture declares this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Oh, okay. So we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And then it says this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Just remember where you were before the Lord saved you, and remember what you thought of the scriptures. Maybe someone witnessed to you. Maybe someone gave you a Bible. What did you think, though, then about what they said? I know what I thought then. I thought it was foolishness. I can relate to that verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Well, when we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, now we have an understanding, because the Holy Spirit of God is illuminating the scriptures and teaching us the things of Christ. Remember, he will not speak of himself. He'll point us right to Christ, beloved. And in verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, beloved of God, we are to be as noble as the Bereans. When they heard the gospel preached by God's faithful preachers, they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And this is serious. is since the fall of man, religious men and women have died in their sins, thinking their religion was right, and they woke up in eternal torment when they departed from this life. Our eternal soul is at stake. We better be right. Don't take the preacher's word for what you hear. Prove all things from the Holy Scriptures. Hold fast to that which is good, and dismiss from your minds those things that are contrary to the inspired word of God. Salvation is either all of works or all of grace. They cannot mix. And we know, we who are the people of God, that salvation is all of grace. Listen to this in Romans chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Romans 11, 6. That's so clear, isn't it? If salvation is by grace alone, and it is, then it is no more of works. Paul, again, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, continues the sentence, and he says, otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it's of works, it's not a grace. And then he says, he continues and says that, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And then, of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the scriptures declare, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, not of anything you do. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God's people, we dismiss from our minds the doctrine of man's works of any kind for salvation. And we hold fast to that which is good, which is salvation is by the pure, free, and sovereign grace of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that He alone has accomplished this for us. God Himself says this, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Listen to that. It's not of your will. It's not of my will, nor of him that runneth. Well, it's not of your works or my works, but of God that showeth mercy. My, oh my, God has mercy upon his people. The inspired word of God puts the doctrine of free will in the same category of works. We must dismiss from our minds the false doctrine of man's so-called free will, and we must hold fast to that which is good concerning our salvation, which is our salvation is by the sovereign grace and mercy of God, which he freely bestows on his chosen blood-bought children in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to lean on our own understanding, or we are not to trust human logic. No, true saving faith, like Abraham's faith, believes God. We take God at his word. And if we believe that some will go to hell for whom Christ died, we are saying that Christ failed in his work of redemption for his chosen people. No, Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, Elohim, as we saw on Sunday. If God could fail at anything, then he'd cease to be God. And God's people find this wonderful, God-honoring truth very dear to us. Jesus Christ saved us at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago by his grace, and we hold fast to that. Again, the latter part of verse 21 says, hold fast to that which is good. Salvation in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ is good. And we've seen throughout the word of God, any and every reference that contains the word good finds its beginning and ending in he who alone is good, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's none good but God. This final encouragement is this, seek the Lord, and having found him, hold fast. In doing so, you will not quench the spirit, and you're not despised prophesying. No, you're loved the preaching of the gospel, and you prove all things, because you hold fast to that which is good, that being the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen and amen.